Thank you. Christmas. It is funky microphone. Let me go up here. Let's do this right. It is a joy and a privilege to greet all of you this evening in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and to wish you a very Merry Christmas. We are so honored and privileged that we are gathered together here to celebrate this amazing day. And so thank you all for coming. Here at the United Methodist Church of Anoka, we have spent the season of Advent exploring wonder. And what we hope tonight in this very traditional service of lessons and carols is that you will be inspired by the wonder of a God who so loved the world that God came in the baby Jesus. We have cookies and cocoa in our lobby, and hopefully you saw that on your way in, and we invite you to linger as long as you wish following the service to spend time together and enjoy those treats. We are so happy that children have come to worship with us, and we want you to know that your children are welcome throughout the entire service. But should anyone be looking for a nursery, we do have a nursery, and it is staffed this evening, and it's just up the stairs on the right. So if that's something that would be helpful to you, you're welcome to make use of it. This service this evening, as I said, is a service of lessons and carols. We will be hearing the ancient stories of the people of God, from humanity's beginning here on earth to the coming of the Messiah, the one who saves. May God bless this time of worship together. Would you please stand as you're able and join together in our opening carol, Joy to the World. Maybe it was my earrings. Not every pastor has that problem. I think I forgot to introduce myself also. My name is Rachel Warner, and I'm the lead pastor here at the United Methodist Church of Anoka. And also several other of our staff and members are going to be participating in the service this evening, and we all share in welcoming you. Will you please join me in our litany for Christmas Eve? You'll find your response on the screen. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth. Shout aloud, hallelujah. God's faithfulness comes down from heaven. God has kept his promise. The Savior has been born and a new world begun. In this season of God with us, we rejoice for God's salvation has come. The Redeemer of all creation has come to earth, and we catch glimpses of God's Messiah-healed world. Is the time we believe once more that perfect love casts out fear, that generosity transforms scarcity into abundance, that righteousness overcomes oppression with justice.
Shout loud, hallelujah. God's faithfulness comes down from heaven. God has kept his promise. The Savior has been born, and a new world begun.
We are graced by God's presence and filled with his love. May we become bearers of God's light and go out to transform our dark world.
Shout aloud, hallelujah. God's faithfulness comes down from heaven. God has kept his promise. The Savior has been born and a new world begun.
I'll invite you to be seated, and as you're seated, I'll invite the Ladaika family to come and light our Advent candle.
In a world where so many despair, God lights a candle of hope in our hearts. In a world where so many experience violence, God lights a candle of peace in our hearts. In a world where so many experience hatred, God lights a candle of love in our hearts. In a world where so many are sorrowful, God lights a candle of joy in our hearts. In a world where so many wait in darkness, light comes into our hearts through a baby born in a manger. He is Emmanuel, Christ the Lord. The light shines, and the darkness cannot put it out.
In our own lives, we are seeking light. In our neighborhoods, we are seeking light. In our families, we are seeking light. In our nation, we are seeking light. In our world, we are seeking light.
First lesson from Genesis 3, beginning with verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman says, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. To the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from all of the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, from dust you are, and dust you will return.
In our second lesson, a reading from Genesis chapter 22. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me.
Thank you. The third lesson is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Fourth lesson is also from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. And the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Thank you.
Our fifth lesson comes from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in a town in Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. In a moment, we are going to take our offering for this evening. And a portion of the offering this evening will be going to the Sheridan story. And if you aren't familiar with the Sheridan story, it is a backpack meal program. So this congregation actually supports Lincoln Elementary. So the students that are involved in this program on each Friday get a bag of groceries for the weekend. And there's an exciting new partnership with the Sheridan Story and the YMCA of the Greater Twin Cities. Starting on the 27th through January 6th, you can go into any of the local YMCAs in the Twin Cities, and no questions asked, no contact information needed to be collected, you can get a bag of groceries. So if you know someone in your life that is struggling with food insecurity, this is a resource for you during the Christmas holiday. Our sixth lesson comes from Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken on the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there were no guest room available for them.
The seventh lesson, Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom His favor rest." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Thank you.
Eighth lesson, Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the scripture has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means less among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Final lesson comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
To sing tonight, didn't you? Yes. I can tell. Wow. I am filled with wonder at the sounds filling this room, all your voices, but not just your voices, but your hearts. This is the wonder of the season. I've heard that nobody comes to church on Christmas Eve for the sermon. The part that you came for, we're done with. We did the singing, we read the story, and the truth is, the story pretty much tells itself. There's not a lot that needs to be said to magnify the wonder and the glory of God being born, of Jesus the Savior coming to earth. But I'm here, you're here. Should we just go for it anyway? I thought I'd just tell you a story. So I want you to remember the 90s. Now, that seems very recent to me. When people say to me something happened a decade ago, in my mind, I go to the 90s. Anybody with me on that? Yeah, we're way past that. But it was Christmas in the lovely town of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 1994. And I was in the ninth grade. Christmas Day was on a Sunday that year, so we must have started our day as a family by going to church, because that's what we did. We were that family that was at church when everybody else got to stay home in their jammies and have their Christmas. So I'm sure we were at church, but honestly, I don't actually remember going to church that day. We often would drive the entire day after Christmas, many years, to upstate New York so that we could spend time with our extended family, my grandparents. But honestly, I don't really remember if we did that year in 1994 or not. The night before, we probably went to both of the Christmas Eve services at our church. Again, that's just what the Weller family did. We went to all the things. So we probably went to both of them. We probably, just like tonight, listened to the story and sang all the songs. We probably went to the Burkett family's open house between the services that they had every year with all the hors d'oeuvres and the air hockey table in the basement. I don't remember for sure if we did that in 1994, but it's a good safe bet that we did. To be honest, the years kind of run together. And as the further away we get from them, the more they do that. And I wouldn't be able to recall specific details and say, this is what we did on Christmas in 1994. But there is one thing I specifically remember about Christmas Day 1994. It was the day Santa brought me my very own CD player boombox, which I had wanted and I had dreamed of, and I had asked for again and again and again for a long, long time. Like Ralphie, obsessed over that Red Ryder BB gun, that's how I was. About that CD player boombox, I could think of almost nothing else. I spent my days imagining how I would become instantly cooler when I had access to my own boombox, when I could lock myself in my own bedroom and listen to my own music all by myself. And there it was, under the Christmas tree. It was a Christmas miracle. After my family opened our presents around the tree that year, as was my tradition, I put on my snow gear and I tromped the 2 blocks to my best friend Melanie's house, where I was welcomed in to another family's quiet holiday gathering. Like our family, Melanie's extended family also lived out of state. And so a lot of times on holidays, after we met our immediate family obligations and our parents were sick of us, we would find each other and spend the rest of the day entertaining ourselves and finding things to do. So I went to Melanie's house, and in her living room, I handed her the gift I had chosen for her that year, but I don't remember now what it was. And then she handed me a small, wrapped square. And when I took it in my hands, I knew exactly what it was. A CD. Do you think she had talked to my parents or Santa? I tore open the wrapping paper, and I will never forget what I saw in my hands on Christmas Day, 1994, Hootie and the Blowfish. It was the first CD I ever owned all for myself. It was the CD I wanted most in all the world that Christmas. And my friend had given to me that amazing gift. I will never forget that gift. All I wanted was to go home in my room and close the door and listen in my own CD player to my own CD. I'll never forget that gift. I'll never forget that moment. And not so much because of the musicianship of Hootie or the Blowfish, but because I will never forget the way that gift made me feel when I opened it. You see, Melanie, my friend, has always had better taste than I. Better taste in music, better taste in fashion, better taste in, well, pretty much everything. And she didn't ever like Hootie and the Blowfish. Still, for me, she spent her own money to buy that CD that she would never, ever choose to listen to. It was the first CD I ever owned that wasn't a hand-me-down from my brother or something that belonged to my whole family. I felt in that moment like there was someone in this world who really got me and who loved me enough just for exactly the awkward piece of teenage drama I was in 1994. She could have gotten me a CD that she liked, you know, so we could listen to it together, or so she could improve my cool factor a little bit on my behalf. Instead, she just celebrated who I was. Just me, awkward teenage Rachel. And we listened that afternoon together to brilliant gems like Hold My Hand and Only Want to Be With You. And you know what I'm talking about. Do you remember what you got for Christmas in 1994? 2004? 2014? Okay, let me ask you this instead. It's a much better question. Do you remember who loved you in 1994? Do you remember who loved you in 2004? Or in 2014. See, that's what we really remember. As the years go by and the details all run together and the traditions shift and change and it gets harder and harder to recall the specifics, we remember what it has felt like to be really loved. And perhaps also, as the years go by, we remember those times when we have felt lonely, sad, or lost at the holidays, the times when it seemed like the world was caroling along with joy and jolly, bright faces, and we were left to fend off our very real feelings of grief at loved ones lost or longing for connection. Tonight we have heard again a most familiar story, and it is for all of us tonight. A story of a God who wants more than anything to really get us. In our awkwardness, even in our most destructive selves, in our joy and celebrations, and in our heartaches. This God who speaks through prophets and dreams and angels, this God who tells shepherds out in the fields the most incredible news the world has ever received. This God who enters the world by birth, reminding us that the sacred and the ordinary are not so far apart after all. This God who spent his life loving those who have felt most unlovable and getting to know those who have felt most unknown. This is our God. This is our God, born in Jesus, a God who loves us and who loves the world and who believes we can be so much more, and even still enters into our lives right now today exactly who we are. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Let us rejoice. May we honor this holy memory by inviting Jesus to be born again in us here tonight. May Jesus be born in us in the ways we love one another. I pray for each one of you gathered here tonight that at some point in your lifetime you will know that feeling that I knew that day when I opened that CD in 1994. It was so much more to me than a CD. I pray that you will know in your life that you are so incredibly lovable, just the way you are, and that you are so deeply loved with all your quirks and your flaws, with all your room to grow, whatever your taste in music, and exactly as you are. This is the Christmas story. You are loved. And this world is worth loving, and it is worth saving. May we be challenged by the story of this night to so love one another, to show our neighbors a glimpse of what this world worth saving can be when we love one another, to make it our mission that every person we would feel the kind of love that we have experienced through God's presence in our own lives. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. May Jesus be born here tonight. May Jesus live in and through us all year round as we dream of and work for the heavenly peace that we know God wishes for us right here on earth. And on this Christmas Eve, I only want to be with you. Merry Christmas and amen. I invite you now to stand as you're able and take out those candles you got when you came in and light those. And please join me together as we sing of that silent holy night and of God's heavenly peace.
Oh.
So as you leave this place, go into the world and love it well. Merry Christmas. Good night.